الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. يقول الله تعالى في كلامه المجيد والفرقان الحميد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Special brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First of all, the introduction which the brother made, what I would like to say is that I am just a student of knowledge, a talib ilm, and I just returned from Syria where I was studying, and I'm still studying. So by no means I am a scholar or a great alim or anything like that, just a talib ilm from the category of the tulab, the students of Sharia. And also, as you know, that on the poster we had one of our guests, Murana Shuaib Sahib, who was supposed to be attending, but because of some reason he was not able to make it. So I was privileged and honored that the brothers came yesterday looking for somebody to be a substitute, a last-minute substitute. So I am a last-minute substitute, and you should expect me as a substitute. So in the few minutes we have before us, inshallah, I will try my utmost best. I won't take much time of yours because, inshallah, I will leave the time to our guest speaker, who is Mawlana Rafiq Sahib. He will give the lecture, and I will just mention a few brief things before he could give his lecture. As you know that we are on the doors of Ramadan. We have 2-3 days left for Ramadan. And this is appropriate time, a time when we need to talk about Ramadan and the different issues relating to Ramadan. The month of Sha'ban, which has just passed, in which we saw the 15th of Sha'ban, the night of the 15th of Sha'ban and the day of 15th of Sha'ban, which, as many ulama, many scholars say, is the reminder for Ramadan. It's a preparation. It reminds the Muslim, it reminds the mu'min, it reminds the believer that Ramadan is on your doorstep. And after 2 weeks, Ramadan will be coming. So that passed also. And now we only have 2-3 days for Ramadan. Ramadan, the ulama mentioned that the word Ramadan, the correct pronunciation of Ramadan is Ramadan. بفتح الميم, meaning with the fatha or the zabar or the nasab of meem. Ramadan. Not as some people say Ramadan or Ramzan or Ramjan. We have different pronunciations. This is also mentioned by scholars, our ulama, that the pronunciations of our Islamic terms should be done in its appropriate manner. Just as the pronunciation and the tajweed of Quran, there are ahkam, rules, regulations pertaining to and relating to recitation of Quran. Similarly, the terms of Sharia. So similarly, Ramadan is from the root word, which is from Ramadan. And the word Ramadan, if you look into the dictionary, the ulama of the Arabic language mentioned the word Ramadan means burning, scorching, or baking. Something which burns, something which scorches, and it bakes something because of extreme and excessive heat. Now, why? Then they give the reason that why Ramadan was called Ramadan. Some ulama, some scholars, and scholars of Lugha and language, they say that Ramadan was given this name because when they were giving this name to this particular month, there was a lot of heat. There was excessive heat. It was very hot. It was burning. Therefore, they gave the month, the name of the month Ramadan. The majority of the ulama, the scholars, they say no. The meaning of this is that the translation of Ramadan or Ramadan is that it burns, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular month, in this shahr, in this month of Ramadan, He burns and He washes away and He forgives the sins of His servants and sins of the believers. So therefore the name of Ramadan is because in this particular month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of a true believer, a true Muslim, a person who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This does not mean that he doesn't forgive in other months. But this, as you know, we have certain times of the year in our worldly life. For example, people who trade in and do business, who are involved in trade and business, we know that we have certain seasons for sales. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the whole year round, the time for a believer is very valuable. If a person benefits from time, if a person utilizes time in a proper and correct manner, if he utilizes it in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then whatever, whether it's Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal, or whether it's Sha'ban, Ramadan, Shawwal, it doesn't make a difference. If a person utilizes time properly, then he will benefits from this time and gives benefit to other people, then he will be successful. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given certain times special status to certain times in which a person, it is easy for him to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So similarly, in this month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of the Muslims, and the ulama mentioned that in this month a person, the servant, the Muslim, the believer, he should make time to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the 11 months of the year, in the 11 months of the calendar, he has been neglectful spiritually and neglectful in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him 1 month to recover in the spiritual, and he progresses in spiritually. So this is a month which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. And there are many, many verses of the Qur'an and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which signify this. There's a verse of the Qur'an in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. This is just a small introduction to the main thing which I want to say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. That this is the month of Ramadan in which Qur'an was revealed, descended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ, that this month is a guidance. Meaning those people who are not guided in Muharram, in Safar, in January, February, March, April, May, those people who are astray in other months of the calendar and other months of the year, then this particular month gives this person the opportunity to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hudal linnas. Similarly, many other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrations and sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which signify the importance of specifying time and selecting time and taking out time for the only and for the solely worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to do those acts which are purely acts of ibadah. As you know, ibadah, there are two types of ibadah. We have ibadat which are totally purely acts of ibadah. For example, performing salat, giving zakat, performing hajj, keeping a fast, performing nafil prayer, etc. These are purely, solely acts of ibadah and acts of worship. On the other hand, we also have acts of ibadah which are apparently, which seem to are worldly affairs, worldly actions, worldly acts. But if a person does it, as the ulama say, with the right intention and correctly, in a proper method and a proper way, then this particular act which apparently seems it is a worldly act will be ibadah, and a person will be rewarded on this. For example, doing business and trade, the ulamas, the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كَسْبُ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيبَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيبَةِ, that to earn halal provision, food, sustenance is a farad just as other faraid. And this, if a person goes to the factory, goes for work to his office, and he earns money with the right intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered me to earn money, to earn a livelihood, to provide for my children, for my family, etc. And this is a farad, compulsory, obligatory, necessary upon me, right intention, and in the method he does it, it is right. He doesn't be involved in interest. He doesn't eat somebody else's money. So the method is right and the intention is correct. This is also ibadah. But the ulama say that this particular month, a person should save time or take out time for those ibadat which are purely and solely ibadat, which are like praying salat, which are like performing tahajjud, qiyamul layl, etc., etc. In the hadith mentioned by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala in his book, narrated by Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man saama ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban ghufra lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, wa man qama رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه ومن قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. If a person kept a fast in the month of Ramadan with true conviction and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the hope for reward and thawab and ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person's, all his previous sins will be forgiven. Similarly, if a person, woman qama, if a person stood up and performed salat, whether it's nafil or taraweeh prayer, in for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with true conviction, with belief, with iman, and with the hope of reward and ajr, then his sins will be forgiven also. And similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if a person stays awake on the Laylatul Qadr, which is one of the nights, could be on the 27th, could be on the 25th, or could be throughout the year, as the ulama mentioned, whoever does ibadah on the Laylatul Qadr khayru min alfi shahr, in this particular night, then similarly all his sins are forgiven also. Another hadith mentioned by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, also in his book, also from Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا دَخَلَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الرَّحْمَةِ. That when the month of Ramadan enters, then the doors of the heavens, or in one narration, the doors of Jannah. In another narration, the doors of the bounties and the doors of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are opened up. وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ جَهَنَّمُ, and the doors of Jahannam, the doors of hell, are locked up and closed. فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ جَهَنَّمُ وَسُلْسِلَةِ الشَّيَاطِينَ, and the shayateen, the Satan, is locked up. So this month, it makes it easy for a person to do ibadah and worship and to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in another hadith mentioned by Imam Bukhari in his book from a sahabi known as Sahal bin Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, that he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are lil jannati thamaniyatu abwab, that there are 8 doors to enter Jannah. 8 doors to enter Jannah. From them, there is one called minha babun yusamma al-rayyan. There is one door from these 8 doors. One door is known as or named as Rayyan. لا يدخلوه إلا صائمون. Only those people who kept fast in the month of Ramadan, proper fast, these people will only enter through this particular gate. This will be a sign. The people entering from this particular gate, this particular door, are those people who kept the fast in the month of Ramadan. There are many, many ahadith. These are just a few as an example which I mentioned. The importance of the month. The importance of doing ibadah and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Importance of turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Importance of performing optional nafil prayers and standing during the night in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, which is something which is more important than this, more important than doing zikr, more important than praying long nafil prayers, more important than standing up in qiyamul layl and making ibadat and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more important than all of these things is, as in Quran when Allah mentions the reason for keeping a fast, as Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That all believers, all Muslims, all you who believe, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ, fasting has been prescribed upon you, made compulsory upon you, obligatory upon you, fard upon you. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, as it was made fard upon the groups and the nations and the people before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, the reason why do you fast? So that you gain, attain and acquire taqwa. The reason, the purpose, objective of fasting is to gain taqwa. So fasting, the reason is for taqwa. So the most important thing behind all this worshipping and more important than all these ibadat which we do is to abstain, refrain and stay away from sins. Staying away from sins, my dear brothers, is something which is important during the whole year, throughout the year. A haram thing, a sin is a sin, whether it's carried out in January, February or in Ramadan. But just as the reward for ibadat is more in the month of Ramadan, similarly the punishment of sins in the month of Ramadan becomes more extreme. So in this month, more important, if a person stays away from sins, he doesn't perform no nafil ibadah, no worship, he performs, he keeps his fast, performs tarawih salat, goes home, goes to sleep, doesn't watch television, etc. He stays away from sins, then this person, when Ramadan finishes, will be one of those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved from the fire of hell. So the most important thing is to stay away from sins. And as we see, what is fasting? Sawm in Arabic, we say Sawm, or Roza in Urdu, or fasting in English. The definition of fasting in the books of fiqh, they say, هُوَ الْإِمْسَاكُ أَنِ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَالْجِمَاعِ نَهَارًا بِنِيَّةِ الصَّوْمِ. That fasting is to abstain, refrain, and stay away from eating, drinking, and sexual intercourse during the day with the intention of keeping a fast. Now, when we see, this is the definition of fasting. What are the things which have been prohibited in fasting? Eating, drinking, and sexual intercourse. These three things, if we look at it, in itself, there are lawful halal. A person wants to eat, if the food is halal, then he can eat. If I want to eat now food, I can eat, it is halal. Similarly, if I want to drink water, drink as long as it is halal, it is halal. Similarly, if a person has a wife and he performs or carries out sexual intercourse with his wife, this is totally permissible, and the person is rewarded upon this also. So these three things which are perfectly lawful, halal, perfectly okay, if a person stays away from these things in the month of Ramadan, he keeps a fast, he keeps a roza, he stays away, abstains from eating, drinking, and sexual intercourse during the day, and then he goes home and watches the television, or he goes home and listens to music, or he is involved and engaged in some other sin, then he is carrying out those things which have never been halal. Those things which were haram before Ramadan, which are haram now, which will be haram till the day of Qiyamah, these are things which are unlawful, prohibited, haram throughout the year and throughout his life. He is abstaining from those things which were halal before Ramadan and which will be halal again after Ramadan. Just now, in the month of Ramadan, and that's just from Subh al-Sadiq to Ghurub, to sunset, it is haram. He is abstaining from these things, and he is not abstaining and refraining from those things which are haram throughout the year. So this shows the importance of staying away from sins. Now, we have many sins, and as you know that many people in this month, even as regard to sins, many people who do not stay away and abstain from sins outside Ramadan, they will stay away from sins. People lock their television sets and close it up, and some people put cloths over the television sets and put it in the cellar or something like that. Many people try the best, as long as the person is a true believer and he comes to the mosque and he has some connection with the masjid, with the mosque, and he has some connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will try to abstain from sins. But, my brothers, even sins, there are two types of sins. There are some sins which are connected to huququllah, and there are some sins which are connected to huququl ibad. Huququllah means those sins which are directly between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other side, there are some sins which are between you and another servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is between you and him. Now, as you know, Islam, this is very important, we should know this. Islam, as the ulama mentioned, Islam is based on five categories. There are five different categories of Islam. The first category of Islam is known as aqaid, which is belief, meaning you have the proper belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all the sifat, in all the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tawheed in his dhat, in his self, the tawheed in his sifat, his attributes, meaning there is only one person who gives food, sustains, only one person who gives children, and etc., etc. And also the belief in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the hereafter and the angels and the books and all the prophets, etc. This whole branch of aqidah, of belief, of creed, is one branch of Islam. Then the second branch, which the ulama mentioned, is known as ibadat. Ibadat means worship. Ibadah is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This includes namaz, salat, performing prayer, sawm, fasting, zakat, giving zakat, hajj, performing hajj, all this is included in ibadat. The third category which the ulama mentioned, the third category of Islam is known as mu'amalat. Mu'amalat means your business transactions and your daily transactions relating to money. Number four is known as mu'ashara, which means your social life. How you should act with your family members, with your parents, with your children, with your brothers and sisters, how you're with your relations, with the fellow Muslim brothers at the mosque in your community, fellow Muslims in general, not just Muslims, non-Muslims, not just even non-Muslims, even animals. How a person should stay and treat other people, this is known as mu'asharat, social life. And the fifth category of Islam, or fifth category of Sharia, is known as akhlaq, meaning a person's inner batin, his inner self and his soul is clean, purified, and he doesn't have the various different diseases, ailments and illnesses. Now these are the five branches of Islam. Now if we were to look, if we take the first category or the first branch of Islam, which is aqidah, belief, alhamdulillah, we are all Muslims, we have the right belief, and we all have this belief, so we are okay in aqidah. That leaves us with four branches of Islam. Four branches. The first category or the first branch is ibadat, which consists of salat, zakat, hajj and fasting. Meaning, if a person was to pray five times daily prayer, comes 15 minutes before the prayer, comes at adhan time, he's dressed well, he has a good beard and an amama, etc., and a big jubba, etc. He performs hajj every other year and goes umrah nearly every year in Ramadan. He gives thousands of pounds to donation to the masjid, to the mosque. He gives his zakat, he goes for hajj, he keeps his fast in the month of Ramadan, he prays the hajj prayer, he prays nawafil, and he calls people towards good, and etc., etc. But this person is neglectful in his social life, how he should act with other people. And this person is neglectful in how he is doing business. And this person is neglectful in his diseases connected to the heart, akhlaq. Then this person is only acting upon a quarter of Islam and leaving out three quarters of Islam. This shows the importance of mu'amalat, mu'ashara and akhlaq. There is a very famous book. In Hanafi fiqh, the Hanafi school of thought, which majority of us follow, all of us, the school of thought of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, there is a book, a famous book, which is taught in the Darul Ulooms, not just in England or in the Indian subcontinent, but all over the world, where the Ahnaf and the Hanafi ulama and students, known as Al-Hidayah. This book, it has four parts, four volumes to it. Al-Hidayah, Sharh Bidayat al-Mubtadi, written by Imam al-Marghinani, rahimahullah, who was a lot of centuries ago. This book has four volumes, four parts to it. The first part, the first part is dedicated to ibadat, all the masail relating to tahara, how to do wudu, ghusl, etc. All the masail relating to salat. Salat includes your salat of Jum'ah and salat of Eid, etc. All the rules and regulations to do with namaz and prayer and salat. All the rules and regulations to do with zakat. All the rules and regulations pertaining to and relating to hajj. All this is included just in the first category, first chapter. The other three chapters deals with nikah, with divorce, with talaq, with marriage, with inheritance, with business, with kitab al-buyu, that this is how you should do business, this is how you're supposed to do trade, this is how, regarding interest, etc. The three chapters are dedicated to all the other aspects of Sharia. So this also shows that if a person just practices ibadat, he's only acting upon one category or one quarter of Islam. This is the reason why Imam Muhammad rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Muhammad bin al-Hasan al-Shaybani, who was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala and the teacher of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, somebody asked him that, oh Imam Muhammad, why don't you write? You've written many books. Imam Muhammad rahimahullah wrote quite a few books in fiqh. He said, why don't you write a book on tasawwuf? Why don't you write a book on zuhud? Meaning, how to turn towards Allah and how to take this love of the world out from your heart and how to have that special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why don't you write a book? We've seen many books you have written on many topics, but we want you to write a book on tasawwuf and zuhd. So Imam Muhammad rahimahullah ta'ala, he replied and he said to this person who asked him this, he said, haven't you seen my book Kitab al-Buyu'? Haven't you seen my book, which deals with business transactions? This book is full, and it is this book. If a person reads this book, then this person will be a full mutasawwir, and he will come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is to do with tasawwur. So, business. Now, how many people regard business as part of Islam? This is one of the most important things which we need the Muslims to divert their attention towards. We think Islam is just to the mosque. We become Muslims in the masjid. Once we go out of the masjid, we go into the office, we go into the factory, we step foot into the factory, then Islam is gone out of the window. No, Islam, you're a Muslim, whether you're in the masjid, or whether you're in the factory, whether you're at home, wherever you are. So this, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. O you who believe, O Muslims, enter into Islam completely, fully and totally. Don't take parts of Islam as the other religions, as the Jews used to do. They used to take some parts of the religion which used to suit them, which they used to like, which used to be easy to practice upon, and leave other things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this ayah. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. And enter into Islam completely, fully and totally. Don't take parts and act upon them and discard other parts. And this is the religion. As you know, Islam is not just as other religions are, certain rituals, practices. If you look at other religions, you look at Hinduism or Sikhism or Judaism, or you look at Christianity, what happens in Christianity? From Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, you do whatever you want. You go to the pub, you go to the club, you commit fornication and anything, whatever you want. But then you go to the Sunday to the church and you ask for forgiveness, and the archbishop or whoever, the priest or whoever is there, he will forgive your sins. They have so many different names. He will forgive your sins. And the Pope as some of the ulama say, has the jurisdiction to even change the laws in Christianity. I just remember this, one of my teachers was mentioning once that these people are very funny. This is what he mentioned. He said that there was a time when they used to regard the Pope as the God, as the divine person, the person who is the God. And now a time has come that they don't believe in God altogether. Now a time has come that they don't believe in God altogether. So these people, what does the religion mean? It is a religion. You go few times to the church, you do certain acts of and certain rituals, certain worships, certain practices, and that's about it. Similarly, Hinduism, there is no ahkam, there is no law, there are no injections, there are no rules and regulations for everyday life. You do certain practices, certain rituals, and you've done your part. Similarly, all the other religions of the world, whereas Islam, when we see Islam is not just to pray and do some worships and come to the masjid and certain worships. No, Islam is a complete way of life. It has guidance, guidelines, teachings, regulations, laws, injunctions, from the time you wake up till the time you sleep, from the time you are born till the time you pass away. So Islam has rules and regulations. This is the reason why one of the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was from Persia, once the kuffar in Medina, they came to him and said to him, O Salman, this hadith has been narrated by Imam Abu Dawud in his book As-Sunan. They said to him that, Ya Salman, لَكَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَتَّى الْخِرَارَ, that your prophet, he teaches you everything. He teaches you things such as how to go to the lavatory and how to relieve yourself and clean yourself and do istinja. How to go to the toilet and clean yourself. So Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu said, Ajal, of course, we are proud of this. لَقَدْ نَهَانَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ لَا نَسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةَ بِغَائِتٍ وَلَا بِبَوْلٍ وَأَنْ لَا نَسْتَنْجِيَ بِعَظْمٍ وَلَا بِرَوْثٍ وَلَا أَنْ لَا نَسْتَنْجِيَ بِيَمِينٍ. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives us teachings and guidelines in basic things such as going to the toilet and relieving yourself and cleaning yourself, and he orders us not to face the Qibla in the direction of the Qibla or put your back towards the Qibla, and he also orders us not to use a bowl whilst a person is cleaning himself, or so basic such as cleaning yourself after relieving yourself, till things which are to do with the qualities and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a religion which is not just a religion. Islam is a complete way of life. So in this month, as I was mentioning, is that sins are of two types, huququllah and huququl ibad. In this month, we should make our utmost best and try to stay away from those things, because those things which have to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many people do stay away from it. Many people stay away from those things. People are watching TV, they stay abstain in the month of Ramadan. If they are listening to music, they stay away in the month of Ramadan. But there are those things which are connected to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which people do not even think or regard them as sins. We come into the masjid, we kept a fast the whole day, we've kept a rosa, we kept a fast. We come into the month, we come to the prayer of Isha, and it's a bit hard, somebody's put their fan on, somebody's off the fan, and we have a big argument, and this happens all over the places. As in the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, هَذَا صَوْمُ صَبْرَ. This is the month of patience. وَصَوْمُ الْمُوَاسَاتِ. This is the month of sympathy. Which means, this is a month of forgiveness. A person should forgive. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that إِذَا دَخَلَ صَوْمُ رَمَضَانِ أو كَمَا قَالْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the meaning of it is, I can't recall the words at the moment, that a person when a person is fasting in the month of Ramadan, then he should not slander another person. فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَسْخُبْ. He should not slander. Neither should this person, he should not swear at another person, and neither he should slander another person. And then, فَإِنْ سَابَّهُ أَحَدٌ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنْ سَابَّهُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ قَاتَلَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي مْرُؤٌ صَائِمٌ. If a person swears at you, if a person slanders you, he says something bad to you, then this person should say to him, I have a fast, I am keeping roza, and go away from that place. So this is the time when we need to forgive, and not just in Ramadan. As I mentioned, akhlaq, manner, and good manners and good characters, for a Muslim it is one of the most essential things. This is something which we are very, very neglectful in. Not just in Ramadan, outside Ramadan as well, akhlaq and good manner, good character is one of the foremost and fundamental things of Islam, just as we pray salah, just as we go for hajj, just as we give zakat. People have taken this out of their agenda. So as in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that this is the month of sabr, patience, and the sabr, and the month of sympathy. You learn to forgive people, and do not commit any sin which is to do with huququl ibad, which will harm another fellow Muslim brother or a non-Muslim also. As you know, Islam doesn't say that you only for Muslims. If you see in the other religions, like for example, once I was reading a book, the Jews, they have a book called the Talmud. It is translated from Hebrew into English. In there, they have many things. So once I was reading this book, it's a small book, I've read it. They say that if a person, if a non-Jew spits at a Jew, then you should spit at him two times. If he slaps you one, you give him two slaps back. If you see a non-Jew and a Jew fighting, then you should make sure you go and help the Jew, and make sure you help the Jew and destroy the other person who is fighting with him, etc. Things like that. It is permissible to spit at a non-Jew, because the whole world, all the people in the world have been created just for the khidmah, for the service for the Jews, and the Jews are the only people who this world is created for, etc., etc. Whereas in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, you respect Muslims as well as non-Muslims. Animals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to even respect animals. As one of my friends once was mentioning to me, that once he saw in the news, or he saw the picture in the newspaper, I can't recall. He was saying to me that once there was some protest from some Muslims because of some particular event which happened. There are many events happening at the moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the Muslim Ummah. But one such event, he was relating to me that they showed Muslims protesting and marching with banners and jumping up and down and swearing and spitting and doing all sorts of things. And they said, on the same time, straight away, I think he was watching the news, at the same time, he said that they showed some people in some country from Europe protesting and marching for the same thing. Another country, some Eastern European country, protesting and marching for the same thing, walking peacefully with their banners for the same thing. And he said, similarly, they just showed Muslims and they are shouting and swearing and slandering and with bad language, foul language. So these people, when they see a normal person, a person who is neutral, what will he think? You see, Muslims, we see non-Muslims, they are marching For the same thing, for the same purpose, same objective, they are walking peacefully, and these are Muslims here on the other side, jumping up and down and swearing and slandering and spitting, etc. So Islam orders us to have good akhlaq. Even with non-Muslims, we have good akhlaq. We see the example, perfect example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a famous incident. We all know when a person, one of the non-believers, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting under the tree, he came and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his sword. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting, this non-believer took the sword of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and sat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to him, "Man yamna'uka minni? Who will save you from me?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On hearing this, this person, the sword came out from his hand and dropped on the floor. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked the sword up and sat on him and said, "Now who will man yamna'uka minni? Who will save you from me now?" This person says, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no way I can be saved, only if you let me go. There is no way, there is nobody who will save me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that with certain conditions. He said, okay, you can go and I'll let you free. This person went to the nearest well, he made wudu, performed ablution and prayed, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, as you know, there was one Arabi, a villager, who came into the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he started urinating in one corner. Now all the Sahaba al-Kiram, radwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, started looking at him in anger that this person is urinating in the masjid. Started looking at him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba al-Kiram, radwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, leave this person, let him urinate. And then afterwards, when he finished urinating, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to him and he said to this particular new person who entered into Islam, who was new into Islam, a villager who came from outside, an Arabi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Inna hadhihi al-masajid la tasluhu li shay'in min hadha al-bawli wal al-qadir." These are places of worship that are pure, clean places. It is not appropriate in place like this to urinate or do something which is filthy. وَإِنَّمَا هِيَ لِذِكْرِ لِلصَّلَاةِ وَذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَقِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That this is a place for worship, to pray, perform salat, to perform, recite the Quran, and to zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the hikmah and the wisdom and the akhlaq, the character and the manner of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were many reasons that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he or the Sahaba al-Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, if they ran to him, this person would move away, and just instead of just that place being filthy and dirty, it would have made the whole masjid dirty. And similarly, if a person is urinating, a person is not supposed to stop a person while a person is in the process of urinating, because it causes illnesses and diseases. Now if a person, just take this example, if a person came into our masjid, any masjid, not this masjid, any other masjid in our community, and started urinating in a corner, what would happen? Let alone urinating, if a person came and then something which is, something khilaful awla, something which is makruh tanzihi, something which is inappropriate, something which we are not supposed to do, people will jump on him and kick him out of the masjid and say, well, what are you doing here, and this is, you're not supposed to come here. This person sometimes has never been to a masjid, he's just entered into Islam. So Islam teaches that, explain to this person with hikmah, with wisdom, and do not show arrogance and pride to this person. So, in conclusion, this month is for ibadah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship in all different ways. But main thing is to refrain, abstain from sins, and as I mentioned, refrain from sins which are connected to huququl ibad, the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and abstain from anger. You see, anger, ghadab in Arabic, anger is a thing which leads to all other sins. The ulama mentioned that a person in Ramadan, this is one of the reasons a person has two types of quwwah. القوة الشهوانية والقوة الغضبية. قوة الشهوانية means a person's power or his lust, lustful soul which he has. Another one is known as القوة الغضبية, which means the anger, the angry soul. In this month when Allah says that fasting is farther upon you in order that you gain taqwa, in this month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to save yourself in being involved in this quwwatu shahwaniyah something into your lustful soul and your angry soul. Stay away from those sins which have to do with lust. And example, fornication, etc. And those sins which are connected to anger. And because these two things, a person, it is easy for him to stay away from these things with fasting and with keeping a roza. Therefore Allah has prescribed fasting, and it is a training course in the month of Ramadan. In one hadith, I just remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the young generation, or the youngsters of his time, he said to them, Ya ma'ashara shabab, O group of youngsters, مَنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ. If some of you, or if one of you, has the capability or the ability and the means and the money, etc., to marry, then a person should marry. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصْرِ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ. Because marrying saves your private parts and saves your gazes, meaning you do not look at things which are haram. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ. If a person does not have the means, the capability, ability, doesn't have enough money to marry, then this person, in order to stay away from lust, fornication, and lustful desires and gazes at haram things, in order to stay away and abstain from it, فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ, this person should keep fast and keep roza. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِعَاءٌ, because fasting is a shield from lust. So this hadith also shows that keeping the fast. Now some people, one of the youngsters once came to me and he asked me that I keep a fast in Ramadan, but my lust increases in Ramadan rather than decreasing. My lust increases. I said to him, what did you eat in iftari? He said, I had some musa, bajia, etc. I had so many things. What did you eat after that? He said, after tarawih I had doner kebab and I had some pizzas, etc. What did you have in sihri? In suhoor I had cream and I had honey and I had this and I had that. I said, then of course it's going to increase. Fasting which decreases your lust is that fast which the Prophet ﷺ used to keep, which was water, which was tamar, which was dates, which was some food, not the. And this is the reason why many of us, we eat more in Ramadan than in Ramadan, outside Ramadan. Our food is increased in Ramadan. This is why some ulama say that this is something which we do not realize. We think that it's just something, it's a burden, we have to keep a fast, eat as much as you could in Sahri and eat as much as you could in Iftari. No. Fasting, Allah wants us to experience how these people, and there are people who do not have food, and to experience and save and have a practice of taqwa. So we should try to eat less food in Sahri, try to eat less food in Iftari also. So as I was saying, that in this month, staying away from those sins which have to do with huququl ibad, do not, as I said, the shahwa, the lust, and anger. Any sin which is connected with anger is detrimental in this particular month. So we have to stay, and anger, as there are many, the ulama have mentioned many remedies that for anger, for example, pray ta'awudh, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. The ulama have mentioned to perform wudu. They have also mentioned, also from hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a person is standing up, he should sit down. If he's sitting down, then he should lie down. Another hadith says that the person should move away from that place. And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in one hadith, if a person, man kazama ghayzan, a person who swallowed his anger, wa huwa qadirun ala an yunaffidhahu, that he was capable of enforcing his anger, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, da'ahu Allahu yawm al-qiyamati ala ru'us al-khalaiqi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call this first person in front of everybody, hatta yukhayyirahu min ayy al-huri sha'a, and he will give him the choice of any particular hur he wants. This hadith has been mentioned by Imam Abu Dawood in his book. And there are many other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding and relating to anger. So we should make sure that this anger which we have in the month of Ramadan, many people, they have anger in the month of Ramadan, quarreling, fighting, arguing, disputes. In Ramadan is very important, and outside Ramadan also. And there are certain ibadahs. This doesn't mean that we don't do ibadah. After all this talk which I gave, you might think that there's no ibadah. No, there is ibadah also, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to perform as much nawafi prayers as a person can, and also perform qiyamul layl. Without tarawih, there is also qiyamul layl, tahajjud prayer, 8 rakats at night. A person appropriate, he should perform 8 rakats. Tarawih also 20 rakats, which is sunnah muakkada. And Sunnah Mu'akkad, the Jama'ah is Al-Kifayah. The ulama say that to pray Taraweeh for each and every individual, it is Sunnah Mu'akkadah. You have to do it. You are sinful. And to pray with Jama'ah in the Masjid, it is Al-Kifayah, meaning if some people pray in the Masjid, then if you don't pray with the Jama'ah, you pray at home, then you won't be sinful. So Sunnah Mu'akkadah, the Jama'ah is Al-Kifayah. And you should try to pray Tahajjud. Also, recitation of the Qur'an. This is a month, Shahru Ramadan, alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an. Recitation, excessive recitation of Qur'an al-Kareem. A person should recite Qur'an. There is a life reward of recitation of Qur'an. And we should listen to the Qur'an properly in Taraweeh also. I will just end with this. This Qur'an, some people, they want people to pray, the Imam to pray quick and fast in Taraweeh. Why? Because we need to go home, you need to go work. You see, to pray Taraweeh is Sunnah Mu'akkadah, and to finish the Qur'an is not Sunnah Mu'akkadah, it is a separate Sunnah. Now if you can't listen to the Qur'an properly and you want to listen to the Qur'an fast without the tajweed, then who tells you to come and listen to the Qur'an? Just pray Alam Tara and go to sleep. We want to read and listen to the Qur'an as well, and we want them to pray fast. We should, Qur'an, if it's recited, then recite it properly. If it's not recited properly, then you don't have to listen to it. You can pray Alam Tara and finish it Taraweeh. It is Sunnah, but Sunnah doesn't mean that you neglect the fard, the ahkam of tajweed. So Qur'an should be recited in a way that it is pleasurable, people understand the meaning. If not, as the ulama say, that we should try to understand the meaning, and if we do not understand the meaning, we still get the reward. As in the Qur'an, Allah says, one of the reasons of sending the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah mentions, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite the Qur'an and teach them the Qur'an. So reciting is also, without knowing the meaning and understanding the meaning, is also rewarding. You receive reward on it. So listen to the Qur'an properly, and there is pleasure in the recitation of the Qur'an. As now we just heard the Imam Sahib who read the Qur'an, subhanAllah, there was so much pleasure in just listening to the Qur'an, reciting of Qur'an. But this pleasure, when do you get this pleasure? When a person, you see, I will just end with this. I have taken much time of the Mawlana, inshallah, he will give the main lecture. As you know, that when a person, when he eats junk food, and he eats junk fast food like McDonald's and Pizza Hut, etc., etc., this person, he will go there again and again, and if you give him some healthy food, some organic food or some healthy food, this person will spit it out. He won't be able to taste, and he won't like it, he will vomit. If you give him healthy food, he will vomit. He will only want that junk food. Similarly, if a person who's had a habit of eating healthy food, if you give him a Coca-Cola, or give him Pizza Hut, or give him a burger from Burger King, or give him fillet of fish or something like that, this person will spit it out. Why? He has been accustomed of eating healthy food. Similarly, that person who all his life has been involved in listening to junk music and watching junk television and watching junk film on the internet, etc., etc., then this person will never gain the pleasure of Qur'an. He will be bored from Qur'an. And those people who have saved themselves, who have the healthy Qur'an, who have been always reciting and listening to the healthy Qur'an, then these people will never be bored from Qur'an. So in this month we can do ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we could. I end with this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, first of all, me the tawfiq, the ability to practice on what I've mentioned, all the brothers here, inshallah. And this month we make dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the Muslims success and help the Muslims throughout the world in different countries and different places. Muslims are going through a period which is unique in history. So make sure that we make supplication and do dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular month. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.